Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, I got to do a better job. I take full responsibility. Time's yours.
I remember when you screwed up the first time. 14 years later is enough. Because, like, you hadn't had a sack in a month. And you say you'll do a better job.
Better job.
What? Then you come out again and say, listen, I'm taking full responsibility. I've had it. Every week is Groundhog Day. I say I hate you. And you say you'll fix it. Time's yours.
Time's yours.
What do they call the definition of insanity?
Like, ever. I'm really gonna miss our Monday talk and your funny way of managing the clock, your stupid play calling in the red zone, and all the fourth quarter leads that you've blown. So he comes out again and says, oh, I gotta do a better job. And I'm like, I mean, this is exhausting, you know? We are never going to win anything with Andy. Like, ever.
We are never, ever, ever.
I gotta look in the mirror.
There has never been a song that has stood the test of time more than that song from Philadelphia.
I'm telling you, Josh.
The lyrics of that one are just every time that there's a loss. It is dead on.
I mean,
has there been
incredible.
A song that has stood? I mean, we
don't know.
We play songs for years and years and decades and decades that stand the test of time. That one is so unbelievable.
It really,
a maddening way.
It really is.
I've got to do a better job getting our team ready to go.
Yeah, you got to do a better job with a lot of
things. That was yesterday.
Yeah.
That song is from Philadelphia.
Right.
His Philadelphia days. It's the same bleeping thing.
I was thinking about this morning. Like, I'm making my egg white, and I'm thinking to myself, like, I'm not going to get mad today. I'm going to let Josh get mad today because here's the thing. I am at my wit's end with Andy Reid. As much as I love him as a head football coach, I am officially at my wit's end with Andy Reid because that song right there was written in Philadelphia a couple of years before he was removed as the Eagles head coach. We're looking at roughly a decade old that song is right now, and it still stands the test of time. And one of the things that I told you last night as I was rewatching the game on the DVR, it's amazing how those technology advances we have in the world today. You can watch things that aren't live on television, right? So I'm sitting there, I'm watching this game, I'm like, this is a freaking blueprint to what we just saw last week. I mean, this game was identical to what we saw against the Indianapolis Colts some 7 days prior out at Arrowhead Stadium. And I'm not talking about what the opposition did against the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm talking about what Andy Reid did as head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. He changed nothing from the Texans game.
He's got to do a better job.
He changed nothing. I've got 12 things that I wrote down from the Colts and Texans losses that were identical to each other from 1 week to the next. And when you get beat by the Indianapolis Colts, the way that the Kansas City Chiefs got beat by the Colts on Sunday night a week ago, you would think when you came back around for your next opportunity to perform, you would go out there and say, all right, this is how they beat us last Sunday.
Right.
Let's change some things
up.
They did not. They did not. An offensive game plan that was identical to the offensive game plan that they ran against the Colts. I feel like I am in that movie You remember that movie? What was the name of that movie that I'm trying to think of right now with Marissa Tomei? And they're down south. My Cousin Vinny. I feel like I'm in My Cousin Vinny, and I'm the lawyer, and I'm standing there, and I go, identical. And then you bring up Marissa Tomei, and she tells you about all the, you know, the parts on the car. That's what we're dealing with this Chiefs offense, an identical game plan that they ran against the Indianapolis Colts. They just took that, because that was so good. They took that game plan, and they said, you know what? This is good.
It starts right here with me.
Let's have an encore. And the Chiefs went out there yesterday and had an encore. Early lead, blew the early lead, lost the game at home. I mean, there's so many comparisons that we can start with. And you have a 10-point lead at home in the first quarter. You're up 17-3 at home in the first quarter. A 14-point lead in the first quarter at home, which is what you want.
You want, I said that going into the game. Get a lead. And make a team come and catch you.
Right. And they got a lead, and they sure as hell made a team come and catch him.
They caught the rabbit at the Greyhound.
Yeah, they really made the team come and get him, and they got him. And the Houston Texans got him. The Chiefs would go on to score after the first quarter one more touchdown in that game. The double-digit penalties. 2 weeks in a row now, we have seen double-digit penalties for this football team. At one point in my notes, I think it was the fifth penalty. The Chiefs got their fifth penalty in less than 5 minutes of game time. There was like 10:06 left on the clock in the first quarter, and the Chiefs had already had five penalties on the afternoon. Five penalties on the afternoon. One on special teams, four on offense, and there's still 10 minutes and change to go in the first quarter of that football team. This is a very undisciplined football team we're watching around like now.
Yeah, 10 points, five penalties. They had that point. Somehow they had 10 points in the midst of the five penalties.
Yes. But even before, I guess they had their first touchdown. But still, there's still five penalties in that game in the first 5 minutes of action. You can't do that. And then the second half of this game, as we sat and bemoaned it last week, why don't we just run the show back from last Monday? Because that's what Andy Reid did with his game plan. He just ran it back from last week. Seven runs in the second half against the Colts last week. Andy did us one better. He ran it four times in the second half. Four times in the second half, and one of those was on a 2nd and 14 from his own 16-yard line.
I've got to do a better job getting our team ready.
Like, what's going on up in that dome of his? He ran the ball four times in the second half. Granted, they had like seven plays in the second half, and, you know, Houston kept the football again, much like Indianapolis did, because this defense couldn't stop you. They let Carlos Hyde go for 120 yards on the ground yesterday, and almost another 200-yard rushing day against this defense.
Yep.
Against this defense. Here you go. Here's 200 yards. Go do what you will. And they right up the middle, just shredded them left, shredded them right. 2-1 time of possession again, just like we saw against the Indianapolis Colts. Couldn't get off the field on third down if you gave them $1 million. Couldn't do that. Offensive line couldn't block for Mahomes again. Kelce had a minimal impact. The tackling is horse crap. I mean, I haven't seen this bad of tackling since Pop Warner days when I was in sixth grade. They can't tackle anybody out there. The linebackers can't tackle. The defensive linemen can't tackle. The cornerbacks can't tackle. The defensive back. Nobody can tackle. Nobody. No tackling. And then you're giving up big plays on first down every game. Big plays on first down. You know what that means? Manageable second down. Manageable third down, third and short, second and short. You give them that because you're getting shredded on first down. Opponents don't even fear going for it on fourth down against this defense either, Josh. Do you see how easy these people just line up and go for it on fourth down like it's no big deal? They're not even scared by the offense anymore. We'll go for it on fourth down. We'll convert. Houston Texans did that again yesterday. And the Chiefs had, a 3-1 pass-to-run ratio. You're not going to win ball games doing that. And it is the definition of insanity over and over and over and over again. We're watching the same game plan. Andy Reid clearly did not create a new game plan for this game, and I think the fans deserve a refund because they got a repeat performance of what they saw against the Indianapolis Colts. That was a bad sequel. That's Major League 3, what we saw yesterday, okay? That's Back to the Future Part 3. That's Naked Gun 33 and a third. Like, that was a bad sequel to the Indianapolis Colts games, and the Chiefs should issue a refund to everybody who had a ticket for yesterday's game because they saw the same damn performance that they saw 7 days prior. There was nothing different about that game at all. Mahomes' left ankle got rolled up on.
Now, I will say what was different. I thought the first quarter, penalties aside, was exactly what we'd asked for. I mean, they had the screen game set up, okay? I asked for more screens,
They
got the screen game going. Right. They got out and got some things. They got a turnover.
Then the screen door broke.
They got a Frank Clark impact play.
Yeah.
Really good strip and fumble recovery.
Great play.
Okay.
I didn't see him the rest of the day.
They got those things. They got those things going in the first quarter. They got the screen to Dan Williams they were doing some things in the first quarter. So that's the part that was different. The part that was different was they got some things going offensively in the first quarter. But then quarters 2, 3, and 4 looked the same. In fact, the second half in time of possession was worse than it was last week. Oh. And we didn't think it could get worse than it was 2 weeks ago against the Colts. It was worse. They had the football less than 7 minutes. The defense, hey, again, you can point your finger whichever. It's the whole package.
Yeah,
again.
It's the whole team.
The whole package again. But the defense can't get off the field. 75-yard drive, 80-yard drive. The capping drive goes for 93 yards and better than 8.5 minutes. Then the Chiefs offense still has plenty of time. They got 6 minutes to go.
Three and out.
They give a 3 and out in like 1:05.
Mm-hmm.
And then the defense with 5 minutes to play. 5 minutes to play. Can't get off the field.
They go for it on 4th and 3 when they could have kicked the field goal and went up 2 scores. Now their kicker's pretty
bad. Their kicker's terrible. I wouldn't have kicked it either. But 4th and 3, let's go for it. They could not get off the field, and they had the ball 5 minutes on the final. That's unheard. You can't have that happen late in a gut check time in a game. No. They can't get off the field either. It is a colossal Andy Durr.
I've got to do a better job getting our team ready to go.
Yeah, that was Andy yesterday. Got to do a better job.
We know,
starts
Andy.
With me.
We know.
It's my responsibility.
So start doing it.
In the same crap that's in that song. It's unbelievable.
The song is unbelievable. When you listen to the song today, it's like it was written yesterday. It was like it was written last night. It was like it was written, you know, moments before we took the air today because it's the same thing. And that's why Andy Reid doesn't have a Super Bowl. We're watching and we're seeing why Andy Reid is championship-less. He's doing the exact same stuff that he's done for the better part of 2 decades as a head coach. And if you don't change and you don't adjust and you don't adapt, you're going to leave Kansas City Super Bowl-less as well. And nobody wants to see that. 20 minutes and 12 seconds was the time of possession for the Chiefs yesterday. 20 minutes and 12 seconds was their time of possession
yesterday. Less than 7 in the second half, yes.
That was the lowest total in the history of Arrowhead Stadium for the Kansas City Chiefs. With this offense that is supposed to be this juggernaut, we're watching an offense that has been anemic, that has been absolutely anemic. And you know why? They're predictable. Charles Omenihu.
Omenihu?
Omenihu? The defensive end. Oh, yeah, he knew what was coming.
Oh, yeah, now people thought I was, like, resting all over the place. But I was just head up on the center. And so when they're kind of, I knew their, like, line movements. I knew the slide and things like that. I knew what it was going to be. So when they said a certain word, I knew I was going to be rushing one-on-one on the center. So I knew I had a chance to convert, but I was playing run the whole time. So I extended out, and then when I felt like he was soft, I just flipped my hips, flipped my hips, and just started running. And just saw the quarterback. He was on the center, so I knew it was a short distance to get to him.
Yeah.
Just had to make that play.
So that's Charles Omenihu talking about, well, I knew what was coming. I mean, so I consider as a viewer and say that I'm just a viewer and it looked exactly the same to me. There's a man who was out there on the field that knew exactly what was coming.
Same tape he watched.
He knew exactly what was coming, knew the terminology they were using, knew the movements of the offensive line. Hey, Andy, how about changing it up a little bit? I know, short week, God forbid we change the terminology.
Again, that's my responsibility.
But you've got players now on the opposing team who go, oh, yeah, we know it was coming. They're predictable. Not just the viewer, that's a player.
Your chance to win Smokehouse Barbecue. Do you remember who had the fantasy pick to pop?
Nope.
913-576-7610. A clue, it wasn't Bob. Maybe he does need to pay attention. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Your chance to win Smokehouse Barbecue. It is the fantasy pick to pop. Each and every Friday at 6:15, we make our weekend fantasy selections. Mondays at 6:15, you tell us who are the best of the fantasy picks. You're going to win a $50 gift card and assorted sauces and spices to Smokehouse Barbecue.
I went up to Smokehouse Barbecue on Saturday before we flew up to Chicago for the marathon to watch my wife play. Josh, and you will love this, smoked pork belly. It's like little pieces of smoked thick bacon with a little barbecue sauce on top of that. Oh, boy. I'm telling you what, that's my new favorite menu item up there.
tailgated with the guy in Iowa City this weekend.
Yeah, smoked pork
belly.
Never
met the guy before in my life.
Uh-huh.
He's like, oh, you're from Kansas City. I said, yeah. He says, I go down there periodically for work, and I stop by Smokehouse and get their wings.
There you go. Smart man.
And he goes, and they have the best beans around.
I'm uh-huh.
Like, just a random dude, 5 hours away from here, knew all about it.
Everybody knows it, man. That's awesome. How was Iowa City?
Everything was great with the game.
No, your team didn't win. I don't know.
It's usually what that is, right? Your team doesn't win.
KU was off this weekend, I guess.
KU was off this weekend, so I got to go see a loss.
They lost to Penn State. I saw a lot of Penn State people at the airport yesterday in Chicago. They must fly through there to get back or something.
Yes. It's hard to get back to State College. Jess in Lawrence, today's contestant. Jess, can you tell us who had the fantasy pick to pop?
Yeah, old Brother Ryan did.
Brother Ryan indeed did. DeAndre Hopkins ran away with this thing, actually. Yeah. Not that he had a touchdown or anything, but it was very, very effective. And the rest of us really stunk.
Yeah, we did.
Keenan Allen, bad. Cooper Kupp, bad. So Ryan had the fantasy pick to pop. DeAndre Hopkins, his guy that he usually picks. And paid off for him.
I think Cooper Kupp stunk because his quarterback stinks right now. The bloom has fallen off the L.A. Rose for both football teams right now. Neither team out there is playing good football. I think if I'm not mistaken, the Chargers lost to a third-string quarterback of whose name I don't know.
No, you called him the second-string quarterback.
I called him Mason Rudolph.
You're like, Mason Rudolph went out there and got around. Mason Rudolph's not playing.
No, he's still injured.
It's the kid from Sanford.
That's right.
The son.
Ronnie.
Sanford and son.
Yeah, that's right.
Jess and Lawrence wins Smokehouse Barbecue, $50 gift card, assorted sauces and spices. We'll do the fantasy pick to pop coming up Friday again at 6:15. Maybe Andy Reid should be paying attention to the defense, right?
Yeah, maybe
There's
so.
There's been that argument. Goes over and sits down with
the quarterback.
And doesn't pay enough attention to the defense. Well, it kind of happened right in front of our face. The Juan Thornhill interception yesterday.
Yeah.
Picked it off in the end zone on a fourth down.
Uh-huh.
Should have batted it down.
Right.
Killed 20 yards of field position.
And led to a fumble and a touchdown.
Well, it didn't lead the fumble, but it led to a shorter field. They might have still fumbled on the very next play from the 40, Bob.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point, Josh.
It was one of those, again, fundamental mistakes. Well, guess what? Guess who didn't see that play? Oh, yeah, Andy Reid.
Yeah, you know, I was on the bench when that went on, so I'm not sure I got the whole picture of it, so I'll have to go back and look at that.
As we defended him last week,
and I have been a defender. Go sit with the offense, do whatever. But then outright admitting, yeah, I did. I don't know. I didn't see it.
I didn't see it. Now, would that have changed the play? Absolutely.
No.
Thornhill still makes the interception. But what it is then maybe is a microcosm of him not caring enough about the defense.
Or making people accountable.
And making people accountable for what they're doing on the defensive side of the football. It's like the inmates running the asylum out there.
I can make you accountable, I guess, on Monday when I go back through the tape.
Right.
But I can't in person because I didn't see it.
Right. And
that turned out to be a big play.
Yeah.
Now, again, they could have been at the 40-yard line. Patrick could have went back. They could have fumbled. Turned it over, and it was not a 3-yard drive. It was a 23-yard drive,
right,
or whatever. It still could have all went down. But again, it's just a symbol of the small fundamental mistakes this team keeps making that shoots itself in the foot.
Well, there are a lot of fundamental mistakes. I mean, that's the penalties. That's a play like that. Like, simple things like that that you should not do wrong. We're seeing this team do wrong. A fundamental mistake is not being able to stop the run, too, Josh. That's basic football 101. Running the football is basic football 101. They're failing in a lot of the basics right now, and that's the part that has me concerned about this football team. Not that they're 4-2. Is that they continue to do the same things over and over again, and 4-2 could become 4-3, could become 4-4. I mean, they're going to a short week now to Denver, to a team that, you know, they won yesterday 16-0, whoop-de-doo.
They're not good. But
they can run the football.
And they
can
run the football really well last year, twice.
Yeah, they can run, and they can run, and they can run. And if they can keep the ball out of Mahomes' hand, which they will try to do, they're going to be able to beat you. And I think right now what we're looking at is a football team that's 4-2, third seed overall, still would have one home playoff game. You know, obviously wouldn't have a first round bye now. The road doesn't go through Arrowhead or anything like that. But I think what we're looking at right now is a 4-2 football team that is trending downward because they're continuing to make the same mistakes that they have made over and over and over again. They're not fixing their mistakes. You know, football teams, basketball teams, baseball teams, as you progress through the season, you're supposed to be getting better. You're supposed to be correcting the mistakes. You're not supposed to be repeating the mistakes. And the Chiefs have been repeating the mistakes really since the Detroit game. I mean, I think it's been an issue for this team. And they're lucky they got a win in that. They could be sitting at 3-3 right now, and they escaped Detroit with a win, but they could be very easily a 3-3 football team. But I think the big picture with the Juan Thornhill and Andy saying that is maybe he now does need to start paying more attention to what's going on the defensive side of the football, because if maybe he pays more attention, guys will be held more accountable by the head football coach. And that's, I think, the way that it needs to be, where he does need to start holding this defense accountable. Now, I'm not saying he needs to stand up. I'm not going to change my tune from last week that he needs to be standing on the sidelines, but he needs to know what's going on and understand what's going on the defensive side of the football. After a game, to say he did not know if Juan Thornhill should have knocked down that ball or not is a blatant disregard for the defensive side of the football. And I think we're seeing why the defensive side of the football has been so bad over the last couple of years, because Andy's chips have been all in on the offensive side of the football. He totally forgot that there is a defensive side of the football. Again, I don't think he needs to stand up, but you need to understand after a game that if Juan Thornhill knocks that play down, that could be a game changer. There's a piece that NFL Network did on Twitter yesterday with James Palmer TV, the guy with the hair, and he talks about that play, how that play right there, that Juan Thornhill play, was a game changer for the Houston Texans, and how that interception gave them the ball at the 20 and then allowed them to do what they needed to do to get that strip, pick up the ball, then score with 7 seconds to go before halftime. All the Texan players said that interception was the game changer, and that was a negative play that went against him. And Andy's going, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I was on the bench when that went on, so I'm not sure I got the whole picture of it, so I'll have to go back and look at that.
I did a better job defending you, Andy, than you did.
Yeah.
Like,
unless he's taking a shot at Whitlock for having the conversation last week,
at least,
which could be it.
At least you could just say, hey, we might have fumbled that next play anyway. We've got to protect the football. Yeah, he's got to bat that down. Know the situation. Know the down.
Yeah,
know the yardage portion of it. That's a rookie mistake.
I think that's exactly what you say. Hey, he's a young kid. He's a rookie.
That's
he's
a
excited.
Rookie mistake.
We'll get it figured.
That's
out.
Not to say we wouldn't, you know, might not have turned it over on that very next play anyway. But certainly that was a big play in the game.
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, you know, I was on the bench when that went on, so I'm not sure I got the whole picture of it. So I'll have to go back and look at that.
I didn't see the game. I was eating. I was having a snack.
Driving back from somewhere, I'm a dentist appointment.
Yeah,
so didn't see the game.
Ooh, did we play yesterday? I don't know. We have a defense? Did Brett tell me that? I don't.
I've got to do a better job getting our team ready to go.
69306 on the Protein House E with a Purpose text line. We will shout it out coming up in just a few minutes. Please give us some food text.
When will he do a better job, though? He's been saying this for 20 years.
Exactly. There's nothing that infuriates you more than we got to do a better job.
Yep.
And
it's awful.
And it's my responsibility.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, just
but
total.
But you just say that, total, and nothing changes.
It's total, like, coach deflection. Not just him. Yeah. Coaches do it all over the place. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Got to do a better job.
Yeah, tackle better. Oh, yeah, you think? Okay, thanks, coach.
69306. Text in for shout it out coming up in just a few minutes. And when was it over? The Whoops edition. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Six 69306 on the Protein House with a Purpose text line. We will shout it out coming up in just a few minutes. Anything you'd like to discuss, 69306. Doesn't have to be cheese related.
No, anything you want, man.
We'd rather it didn't for a few minutes, because it's going to be a full 4 hours of
It is. At 8 o'clock, you guys get to weigh in as well with Time's Yours. Yes. Looking forward to hearing the fans talk about the blame game and everything else we want to discuss.
Yes.
With this team coming up at 8, maybe we'll take your calls earlier.
Yeah, probably should.
69306
on the Protein House, Eat with a Purpose, a text line. But this time every week, we give you the when was it over text from Fesco.
Right. Yeah, it's not so good the last couple of weeks.
No, this one wasn't. But boy, it felt good at this stage of the game, did it not?
Well, it did. And I was up and I was actually watching this part of the game on my phone as my wife was running a Chicago Marathon. So I see the first drive. I'm like, that's great. Nice play by Tyreek Hill to secure that ball, get a touchdown. Chiefs are up 7-0 on the ensuing drive. you know, whatever team that was yesterday, the Colts Texans, it's the same thing because it was the exact same game plan run by Andy Reid because he's not creative and doesn't change anything. And players were saying that, not just this viewer. And then Frank Clark makes his one play that he's good for a game and strips Carlos Hyde. They recover the fumble. And ultimately, that leads to a field goal. You go up 10-0 at that point in time. But again, more penalties that, you know, prevented them from potentially scoring a touchdown after that, that fumble recovery. But they go up 10-0, and I thought, okay, there it is. There's the big play. Touchdown, boom, get the ball right back. Game over.
11:36 of the first quarter, yeah. I received the Fesco games over text.
Right.
The Clark force fumble and recovery on Hyde.
You know, and part of the problem is me, you know, buying into this team. Maybe, you know, Andy has got the insanity bug going on right now. I've got the insanity bug going on right now. Keep believing and thinking things are going to change, and things aren't going to change. We're six games into the season, and it's identical to every other game that they played. We see the same stuff over and over and over again. And so maybe it's my fault for buying in and calling these things over when it's not now. But you're up, you know, at that point, you go up 10-0 at home. And then you're up 17-3 at home. There's no reason to lose that football game. None whatsoever.
No. 14-point lead at home. What was the Mahomes Brady stat you sent?
Oh, Mahomes has lost four of his last seven home games.
Wow, yeah,
amazing. Four of his last seven home games. Tom Brady has lost four of his last 36 home games. So it's when we're declaring who's the GOAT and who's not the GOAT, I mean, Tom Brady is still the GOAT in every category imaginable out there. Mahomes has looked pedestrian over the last couple of weeks.
Someone texted in earlier, too, want to know our, like, AFC rankings at this point. I said, I have no idea. It's the Patriots in a week-to-week.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the gap is wide, and the Patriots just have been sitting around since Thursday night.
Right, watching all this. I mean, Houston's the 2 seed right now. If the season were to end today, the Chiefs would be the 3 seed if the season were to end today. I mean, and you look at the Oakland Raiders, they're only a half game back of first place right now. Who'd have thought that the Oakland Raiders would be even above water at this point in time? And all the mocking I've done of the Oakland Raiders, I mean, you know, maybe Andy Reid deserves a little bit of that because he runs the same game plan 2 weeks in a row. The same game plan. Who does that? Like, what coach does that? They spend 18 hours a day sleeping on cots in offices, and they just rolled out the same game plan. Seems like a colossal waste of time to me. Anyway, let's shout it out. 69306 on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. We got some food text, don't we, Josh?
Hopefully so. They don't have to be all football related, but, you know.
Yeah, if you want that's fine.
The text line is yours. Shout it out. Terrible tackling.
Oh, awful. Just terrible tackling. 2 weeks in a row now, and it's really been bad tackling. But I am not as mad at the bad tackling for the Kansas City Chiefs as I should be because the entire league has bad tackling right now. You're just not allowed to tackle anybody anymore, it seems like, in professional football. So tackling is bad, has been bad for years. But yesterday it was really bad. I mean, really, the linebackers like diving at guys, you know, 45-degree angles, trying to make a tackle, trying to pull shirts. It was bad. It was bad yesterday.
Do you wad or fold your teepee?
I think it just depends on what kind.
Depends on the thickness, the ply.
Yeah.
Depends on the ply.
Depends on the ply. Yeah, absolutely. But again, I told you, I'm onto those wipes, man. That's where it's at.
Why do we say bite down when we actually bite up?
I bite down, I think. Maybe you do bite up. I don't know. That's interesting now. I can't tell which way I'm going.
Everybody's doing it, right?
Everybody's biting, right?
When you eat something?
I feel like you're kind of doing both. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's very good. Very good question.
Don't know.
I like that. We'll save that for Thursday when Ryan's back. He'll have an answer.
Worst generation of NFL officials ever?
It is a very we told you last week these guys were calling these pass interference plays and not reviewing them as a silent protest. We saw it again yesterday. Both the Chiefs and the Houston Texans should have had calls reversed. The one that went for 52 yards on the third play of the game or whatever it was. Remember that play that was seen so long ago? There was definite clear out there by Travis Kelce for offensive pass interference. That should have been overturned with review. And then the one where Mahomes threw the interception, I still don't know what the hell that play was. That probably should have been changed to something else. But these guys aren't going to do it. It's a silent protest by the officials. You can challenge these plays all you want, but we are not going to review these, and we are not going. We'll review them, but we're not going to reverse these plays.
Yeah, I don't think this year's level of officiating can be judged in that regard because the there's a definite conspiracy going on.
No, there is. No, it's not a conspiracy anymore. It's not a fact.
They're telling you, stop telling us how to do our jobs.
Right.
We got it.
We got this. And so I think the reason the officiating looks worse this year is because now we've had 25, 26 challenged pass interference penalties, and only one has been reversed. And everyone that's been challenged looks like it should have been reversed.
No, it's like, we're telling you what we're doing.
And it's really slowing the game down. It's bogging the game down. Coaches don't know what to do. They're not sure. They're wasting challenges on this stuff. If I'm a head coach, I'm not challenging the pass interference anymore, because no matter how egregious it looks, they're not reviewing it. Look at the game on Thursday night with the Giants and the Patriots. That's as pass interference as you can get. Travis Kelce gets thrown to the ground. Well, the ball wasn't in the air. Like, they just make excuses, and they're not reversing these things.
21 penalties yesterday in the Chiefs-Texans game.
Well, that's par for the course with the Chiefs. They're a double-digit penalty team every week.
Fire Bob Sutton. Yeah. Just from the text line 69306. LOL, there's also some fire Spags as well.
Well, that's why I said firing Bob Sutton, it had to be done. But again, it, one way or the other, to me, it wasn't going to make a difference. And we're seeing it's the same stuff.
Shout out to my fandom. If you see him, tell him to come home when he's done sulking.
Who?
His fandom.
Oh, all right.
His fandom's out sulking. He needs to come home. Tell the lady to stop scratching your tickets at the counter. Other people have places to go. Yeah, you people are the worst.
Stop.
Scratch ticket people.
Oh, sitting at the counter. Scratchers.
Sitting at the counter. At the
convenience
store.
Get your ass out of the way.
Yeah. You can't sit there and scratch and then, I have one of the, which, do you have the such and such game?
Do you have the cash? Move to the side.
Yeah, it's the worst.
And it's always the people who have their own scraper, too. Like the Kansas Lottery, Missouri Lottery, like official scratcher scraper that they have.
Get that stuff on your fingernail. I don't have a problem with that.
Got a Newport hanging out there, scratching away.
No problem with that. Just do it in your own lane.
Yeah.
That's all. No one is afraid to play at Arrowhead anymore.
No, they're not. J.J. Watt, after the game, said, yes, they will have played. It's a great place to play. Arrowhead is great for the fans. The team has not fed off the fans. I mean, they just haven't. I mean, when you throw that stat out there about Mahomes losing 4 of his last 7 home games, that's the MVP we're talking about. They're not afraid to play at Arrowhead because we don't have the intimidating defense like we used to have here in Kansas City. We're out there with the binoculars looking for Frank Clark to make a play. Oh, there it is. There's Frank Clark's play. He's the highest paid chief of all time, one of the highest paid defensive players of all time. You're going to be in that category. You should be like Lawrence Taylor, Derek Thomas, these great defensive players who you're not looking every game for 1 or 2 plays. You know they're making 17 plays.
Or on the play of the game, sitting on your tush.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Getting shook by the quarterback.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That was Frank Clark, by the way. Yeah. In case you didn't catch that one. Fire Veach. Yeah, there's a lot of firing.
A lot of people.
Fire Andy, fire Veach, fire Sutton, fire Spags.
I mean, like Andy Reid's the gatekeeper, guys. Veach does what Andy Reid wants. Spags is just the defensive coordinator that works for a guy that doesn't have any interest in him.
What's the difference between illegal contact and defensive holding?
We don't know. I wish
I could answer that for you.
There's no way to tell. There really isn't. I mean, scholars will debate this one for years, Josh. I always say the scholars will debate. They are debating whether or not this stuff is a penalty, and we don't know. We just don't know because the officials aren't playing the same game that everybody else is playing right now.
You can't possibly know because the experts they bring in to go over these
things, don't even know.
They don't know.
They're former officials, and they're saying what it is, and then the officials do what they want. They've gone rogue. The NFL officials have gone rogue. We said it last week. We set it up for you last week. We talked about it last week, and now everybody's starting to get on board that the NFL officials are going rogue when it comes to reviewing these pass interference calls.
Bring back the replacement refs.
No, God, no. Good Lord, no. Those guys were awful.
Unless you're making a statement, if you're the NFL and you're making a statement. Because they don't have their officials checked right now.
No, they really don't. The officials are going out there and doing it. They just agreed to a new contract with the officials. So it's not like there's a new deal coming up where they can hold this over their head. The officials have gone rogue. They know they can go rogue, and they have done it.
Mariota done in Tennessee, ? I think so.
Probably.
I think so.
You got benched for Ryan Tannehill yesterday.
Yeah.
Let me say that
who
again.
Who they love in meetings. You hear the narrative on that one is they love him in meetings, and he's just such a pro, and they love it. Yeah, I think Mariota's done.
I'd be good in meetings, too, I think.
I'd be great in meetings, but in play.
Yeah,
be really like fun in meetings.
One-liners and out. Yeah. Oh, this guy's great in meetings.
And how are you great in meetings? The only person that's great in the meeting is the one that shuts the bleep up so you can get out of the meeting.
Get out of the meeting fast. Yeah,
right?
That's the good. Yeah.
The only, you can't be good in a meeting. You're either bad in a meeting or you're in a meeting.
Right.
That's it.
The good guys in the meetings are the ones just let the boss talk. You don't ask follow-ups. You leave.
Yes. The bad ones in a meeting are the ones that ask follow-ups or random things that don't apply to that meeting.
Right.
Those are the bad people in meetings. There's no such thing as good people in a meeting.
Right.
Can't happen. Can't happen.
No. Well, he's good in the meetings, is he? Does he? So he shuts up and brings everybody a Snapple? I like that Diet Peach.
If you're good in the meeting, you say, I move, we adjourn.
Yeah, that's right. That's what
the other person that's good in the meeting says, I second it, and you're out.
You know who else was really good in meetings? Chase Daniel was good in meetings, and Chase had to play. Oof. Well, he is atrocious.
That is today's edition of Shout It Out. It's how it's gone down. We'll discuss next.
Fesco in the morning.
This segment brought to you by Broadway Deli, the official deli of 610 Sports Radio in the Crossroads. Breakfast, lunch, they can cater breakfast and lunch as well. Check them out, Broadway Deli, the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. 4-2.
Yeah.
In the end of the world, right?
No, it's not.
But.
Still a playoff team, still in first place, still a third overall seed, still going to have a first-round home playoff game at Arrowhead if the season ended today.
I don't know if that's a good or bad thing.
I don't know. It doesn't matter anymore.
I want it
good for the fans.
I want it for the fans to have it there, but I don't know that it gives you any advantage.
No, it really doesn't.
I don't think anybody should be intimidated going into Arrowhead right now.
No. Mahomes has lost 4 of his last 7 home games.
It's amazing. It's an amazing stat.
Yeah.
Of all the things he's done really, really well.
Correct.
Again, it's dumb that quarterbacks get the record portion of it.
Well, the Chiefs have lost 4 of their last 7 home games.
Or you could pick out a random player who's played in all 7 of those games too and say they're 4-7, but they don't get a lot of the, don't get a lot of the
would that be ability. Killer Trav
or Mitchell?
Yeah, Mitch has played
No one says Mitchell Schwartz has only won or has lost 4 of his last 7 home games.
Mitchell Schwartz has lost 4 of his last 7 home games. Can you believe that?
I'm putting that on Mitchell.
But seriously, let's pause for a second and think of they may be the only Colquitt, Butker.
Chris Jones?
No, he missed yesterday's game.
Oh,
he wasn't out there.
That's true. Yeah. He doesn't get that record?
No. Tyreek Hill doesn't count. He missed games.
Okay.
Yeah. Austin Ryder? Is he part of this thing?
No.
Think about that. Four of their last 7 home games, we can name like 4 dudes who were part of the entire thing.
So 4-2 is not the end of the world. But
but there's a big yeah but over here, and the big yeah but is Andy Reid. I mean, for the second consecutive week in a row, we have seen the exact game plan. And again, it's not the losses. Teams are going to lose games over the course of an NFL season. You're going to lose 3, 4, 5, 6 games over the course of an NFL season. The road is going to go through New England anyway, but the team isn't showing improvement, Josh, anywhere. They are regressing when it comes to playing football. They were much better in Week 1 and Week 2 than they are now after Week 6. And we said that last week. I said, I thought they were playing better the first 2 weeks of the season. The last couple of weeks, they weren't good. The last 3 weeks for this football team have been very, very bad. And they're regressing, not progressing. And as the season goes along, you want to get better, not worse. And their last 3 games have been far worse than their first 3 games. And 4-2 isn't that big a deal. But now you got 2 AFC losses, 2 AFC contenders, the Indianapolis Colts and the Houston Texans, and 2 home losses now for the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, they always stack their schedule at the end of the year to get those home games in December. They want to be playing at home at the end of the regular season. Well, you got to find ways to win those games at home right now. You're 1-2 at Arrowhead Stadium. I mean, you know, you want to go in a perfect world. You go undefeated at home, and you split on the road. That gives you 12-4, okay? That puts you at a 12-4 mark. Will you take that every single year? Yeah, you will. But now the Chiefs have to go out and find a way to steal a couple of games on the road, okay? You've got to go out and find a way to steal some games on the road. You've got to go out and find a way to win this weekend in Denver. This all of a sudden now has become a must-win game for the Chiefs going out to Denver on Thursday night. That's a must-win game. There's no other way to put it. You lose that football game to the Denver Broncos, then you're sitting at 4-3 and 3 straight AFC losses. That's not a good spot to be in. You've got to find a way to go out there and win that game against the Denver Broncos. But what we're seeing with this football team is the same stuff over and over and over and over again. And Andy Reid sits there and talks about having to do a better job and do a better job and do a better job, and they're not doing a better job.
I've got to do a better job getting our team ready to go.
And he's not doing a better job of getting his team ready to go. They're not doing a good job with offensive game planning. They're not doing a good enough job on defense with stopping the run. Special teams had some miscues yesterday, missed field goal in the game yesterday, penalty on the opening kickoff. I mean, how do you get a penalty on the opening kickoff on special teams? You got 42 out there doing things he shouldn't be doing.
You can't double team anybody anymore.
I mean, not paying attention to the rules of special teams. Those are the little things.
Yes.
And when you have the little things in the NFL go wrong, they equal big things. Teams in this league are not far apart from each other.
Again, and that's my responsibility.
The Chiefs are in this category as well. They're not far apart from anybody else right now. You got a banged-up quarterback. You've got a defense that can't stop the run. You got an offensive guy who doesn't even know what running the football looks like. And you're doing the same stuff over and over and over again. And that's why the 4-2 is frustrating right now, Josh. It's not 4-2 that's frustrating. It's how they got to 4-2 and how these last three games have looked for this organization.
Two AFC losses are big. You're better off losing the NFC during the regular season.
No doubt. Right? You lose to the Packers, lose to the Vikings. Okay, fine.
You don't want to have losses because the total is going to matter against the Patriots for sure, right? But you don't want to have AFC losses and have anybody else try to catch you and push you further down the ladder in the AFC. That's right. The troubling part. And we are under the belief that home field matters. And you've had back-to-back losses at home on your home field to AFC playoff contenders or playoff, maybe both playoff teams. I don't know how it's exactly going to shake out in that division. But
well, they're contenders right
now. Those look like that those are two playoff teams that came into your home venue and beat you. There's no home field advantage, which stinks too because the Chiefs should have a dominant home field advantage, and they're not taking
advantage. Well, they do have a dominant home field advantage. They don't take advantage. Because when you say they don't have a dominant home field advantage, I feel like that you're selling out us as
oh,
fans,
not at all.
Right?
Not
the fans
at all.
Bring it,
Everybody's doing their part.
The home field advantage is there.
They're not taking advantage of it, and they're making other teams too comfortable to come in here and play.
Yeah. Players get juice for coming into Arrowhead. J.J. Watt said it again after the game yesterday.
Everybody loves playing at Arrowhead Stadium.
The Chiefs, I don't know if they love playing at Arrowhead Stadium as much as they should. Like, I've always thought for a long time the organization as a whole took the fan base for granted. I think the organization has taken this fan base for granted for many, many years with the constant rise in prices and parking and the way that they park cars and all that kind of stuff. Like, I've always thought they don't appreciate the fans enough here in Kansas City. These fans would cut off their left arm for this organization. You know, these fans would do whatever they needed to do to help this organization win. I don't think the organization has ever been appreciative as they should be of the fan base that's here in Kansas City. And I don't think the product on the field has ever really taken advantage of the fan base here in Kansas City. Countless playoff home losses for this organization over the last 30 years. They don't take advantage of what the fans give them. No way in hell should another team come into Arrowhead Stadium and have their way with the Chiefs like the Colts and the Texans did on the last two Sundays that we've seen football played at Arrowhead Stadium. That's on the team. The home field advantage is 100% there. The team just doesn't know how to take advantage of that home field
advantage. When I'm penciling out the schedule every year when that schedule comes out, few and far between am I giving them a home loss. I more often than not give them the benefit of the doubt. If it's a close game, I'm giving you the home thing. They don't live up to it.
No.
No,
they don't.
Haven't for years taking advantage of what that atmosphere should bring them.
Right.
Which is absolute dominance.
Absolute dominance.
Yes.
100% dominance. It should bring you so many more wins and so many more great moments than it has. And that's sad, man. I mean, like that's really sad.
It starts right here with me.
That they can't take advantage of the energy and the effort and everything that fans put into going out there on Sunday. And they can't find a way to possess the ball for at least 21 minutes in a game yesterday. 20 minutes and 12 seconds.
Jeez. Coming up at 7, well, he's not the answer either. We'll discuss that coming up at 7 o'clock. Patrick Mahomes was shook yesterday, Bob.
Yes, he was. That's not good.
Not in a good way. Because it happened way too early in the game.
Yeah.
The bizarre call that we're all going, hands in the air, I don't know. Patrick Mahomes threw an interception. Oh, that does happen to most quarterbacks.
8:42 to go in the second quarter. I got this.
He throws a pick right in the end zone. There's nobody around. Why? Because Travis Kelce's getting thrown to the ground.
Right.
Play comes back. It's called uncatchable. Mm-hmm. So the ball was. You know, they gave him 14 excuses as to why that wasn't a penalty.
I never saw anything like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Mahomes admits he was shook.
Yeah, well, I mean, we were just trying to get a kind of, we're trying to get an explanation from the referee on why they picked up the flag and what was the reasoning. And they said that the ball was in my – I had thrown the ball when he was getting held, which is a rule that if it's uncatchable, you can't call pass interference. But, I mean, the reasoning of him actually running the double move was the reason he fell down and that was uncatchable. It shook me. But you have to move on. You have to play. You have to find a way to play better after that flag and find ways to win the game.
Yeah, because it was midway through the second quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a ton of time to play.
Right.
So you have to, yeah, find a way to move on and find a way to get a win.
Right.
And you were shook.
You were shook by it.
Halfway through the second quarter.
Right.
Ain't no time to be shook.
Yeah, how are you shook at 8:42 of the second quarter? Because he knew they were only going to get the ball back for like seven more plays for the rest of the way.
Because they know the line is so fine right now, they have to score every time they have the football because they might not get it back.
They may not get it back. But you shouldn't be shook. You shouldn't you shouldn't be the MVP and be shook after an interception. I mean, I know he doesn't throw a lot of them, and it took to week six before he threw his first interception of the year, and that's great and fantastic and everything. But that should not shake you. That should not change anything that you're doing. You should just want to go back out there, let the defense get a stop. But you want to go out there and find a way to get that ball back and score. And they didn't, because that interception ultimately, whatever that call was, led to Carlos Hyde walking into the end zone and Carlos Hyde saying this after the touchdown.
Carlos Hyde back in. First and goal for Houston. Handoff. Carlos Hyde is in. Touchdown, Texans. The Carlos Hyde revenge.
Yeah.
You can't stop us.
Yeah.
With the bleep.
They're not going to bleep and stop us.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to bleep. Did you pick that up on the broadcast last night? They're not going to bleep and stop us to go in the second half with a 17-16 deficit right there. And that's Carlos Hyde saying they're not going to stop us. 3 minutes to go before halftime. Chiefs are up by a point. Chiefs are up by a point in that situation. And they end up going into the locker room down, giving up 20 unanswered points to the Houston Texans. 20 unanswered points.
Chiefs won the first quarter, and then Houston won the second quarter.
Right.
But officially, that Kelce play was just ruled Patrick Mahomes deep pass left intercepted.
Yeah,
that's the official.
That's the official ruling.
Yep. That's the official ruling.
Yeah, I look
just intercepted
again. So. It's the officials, and you guys have laughed at me for years when I've said there's a conspiracy going on. We're seeing it right in front of our eyes right now. There is a 100%
although
conspiracy
I think your conspiracy
the
was to control the outcome of games.
This is kind of doing
this,
that.
This to me feels like conspiracy to say we're doing our jobs.
Yeah, well, yeah, that too. Yeah.
Double burden everybody and go.
Right.
Stop telling us how to do our jobs. We're the referees here, not you. Knock it off.
Yeah.
And we're going to take it. Yeah, we're going to take control of this. In fact, we're going to screw you guys over.
We're going to screw everybody over.
We're going to screw everybody. We're in charge of this thing.
The referees.
They've taken this to a. I don't think this is to control who wins. They're just giving the bleep to everybody.
Yeah.
Like, we win. You know who's winning? This guy.
This guy. Yeah. Who's got two thumbs and winning and a whistle? The refs. Yeah,
that's gotten to the point of absolute absurdity.
Well,
you're not even trying to control outcomes of games. You're just telling everybody you're the best. Stop messing with our job.
Right.
That's where it's getting ridiculous to me.
It has become an outright mutiny by the refs. And I think the coaches need to stop challenging these calls because they're not getting changed. I also think the league needs to weigh in and go, enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Enough.
This isn't an indictment of you. It's just about getting the calls right.
Right. Enough. We get it. You're pissed. But you know what? Enough.
Yeah, stop. Stop messing with the game.
Officiate the game the right way.
Yes.
Because both of those non-calls that were challenged yesterday,
yeah,
both of them should have been reversed.
And if you're a defensive player right now, foul.
Yeah.
Just chances are it won't get called.
Right.
And if they don't call it, they go back and review.
They're not going to change it.
They're not going to change it. So just foul.
Just go out
just
there and
grab
rip people to the ground.
Like,
rip them down.
Stop. Just, yeah. Now the rules, I don't even say the rules, the act of the officials has swung it back to the defensive side of things actually having an advantage.
Sure, a little
so
bit, yeah.
If you're a defender right now, take advantage of it while it lasts.
Right.
Might not last very long. 610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDF HD2 Kansas City, radio.com sports station. Your chance to win a pair of tickets to the Hollywood Casino 400. That's the playoff race coming up this weekend. Tickets on sale now at kansasspeedway.com, but you can win a pair of tickets just for listening the next time you hear this drop.
He did what in his cup?
Be caller number.
Oh, let's go with caller number 25 today. That seems right.
Caller 25 to 913-576-7610 is going to win a pair of tickets to the Hollywood Casino 400. We've seen multiple texts already today. I was listening to the postgame show yesterday, the Arrowhead Pride postgame show yesterday. Heard calls for this already. People want Spags gone already. That this defense is not any better, is no good. And after sending out the all but renting the plane to fly over Arrowhead to say fire Bob Sutton, now they've turned their sights on Steve Spagnuolo. And I can't say I disagree. This defense is no good. The guys are not buying in. Maybe that's the most troubling part of this entire thing, that if you believe Steve Spagnuolo should be fired, I can't argue with you. The defense, though, isn't buying in. Tyrann Mathieu, who you paid to be a leader on this defense, he says they don't trust each other.
Yeah, we got to do a better job, you know, front end to back end. And, you know, got to start realizing that we need each other. Up front, back end, everybody in between. You know, it's a group effort. Till we buy into that, we'll keep playing like that.
Mm, that's your leader. That's your leader. But if you're Tyrann Mathieu, how do you trust whatever that is in front of you? Like, what is that? Is that silly putty? Is that slime? Kids are into slime these days. This defense is like slime. It just goes right through your fingers. I mean, that's what I'm going to start calling the front seven slime, because slime is what that defense is. You grab it and it squishes. It goes, and then it falls through your fingers. That's the front seven. So if you're Tyrann Mathieu, you're looking at that slime there and you're going, what in God's name am I doing back? I got to go make a play. And so this is exactly like we talked about with Derek Johnson a couple of years ago. So he's thinking he's got to go make a play, then he's out of position because he doesn't trust those guys in front of him. And I think it would be very hard to trust those guys in front of him because they're slime. They're no good. They're terrible. They ruin your home.
So Steve Spagnuolo putting together a defense that nobody's believing in and nobody's buying into.
Correct.
And no one can look next to them and feel confident.
That's exactly right.
That's where we're at through six games.
Right. And I understand the venom for Steve Spagnuolo. Who hired him?
Andy.
Okay. Who hired Bob Sutton?
Andy.
When is Andy going to start being held accountable? We want to fire all the assistants. We want to fire the coordinators. I mean, I'm not a fire Andy Reid guy because I think he's one of the best head coaches in the NFL.
But he's maddening.
His warts are so big that you have to go into like a surgeon and have those things burned off. And his warts can't get burned off. We're seeing the same things repeated, not just from week to week here in Kansas City, from year to year, from what's gone on in Philadelphia as well. This is the maddening stuff, Josh, that Philadelphia fans talked about. This was the maddening stuff that drove them back, you know what, crazy about Andy Reid. We're seeing him hire his friend, and then the defense doesn't do what it's supposed to do. And this was a guy he worked with in Philadelphia before. How about trying something new? Now, I understand Bob Sutton was something new, and it worked for a couple of years here in Kansas City. Then that got stale, and they had to move on. But eventually, you got to look at Andy Reid and say, I get it, man. You're really good. And there's probably nobody better out there right now. I mean, I even had a guy on Twitter this morning say, who should be the next head coach? I'm like, I'm not there yet. I can't
do that right now.
But eventually, Andy has to own up and take responsibility for this because he's the guy that keeps hiring these defensive coordinators and going out and getting the players. I mean, people want to get mad at Brett Veach. Brett is doing it's a collaborative effort. This is not Brett Veach going rogue and making these moves and giving Andy these players. Are you telling me Andy Reid is allowing a guy in his first, you know, job as general manager to dictate who the personnel is going to be? Maybe he does with some of the draft and some of the street free agents, but those big name players, they're sitting down in meetings. You guys want to sign Tyrann Mathieu? You guys want to trade for Frank Clark? Like, these are conversations that everybody's involved with. Andy Reid is the football guy in this organization. And I have a hard time sitting here blaming players and blaming Spags and not blaming Andy Reid because he's the leader of this thing. You're only as good as your leader. And if Andy Reid isn't leading properly and doing the right things inside that organization to get this defense to play better, that's on Andy Reid. That's on Andy Reid.
But if he has turned the defense over to Steve Spagnuolo, which we believe he has, right?
But maybe that's not. But
then he's also failing everybody because Steve Spagnuolo is not getting their attention. When you have your big time free agent signing saying, "Well, till we
slime in front of me,
till we don't do anything, we're gonna keep playing like this."
Yeah, we gotta do a better job, front end to back end, and gotta start realizing that we need each other up front, back end, everybody in between. It's a group effort. Till we buy into that, we'll keep playing like that.
Till we buy into that, man.
We'll keep playing like that.
When is that going to happen? How do you do that, though? That's Oof. The magic question. You're dealing with the psyche. You're dealing with the mind of professional athletes. How are they going to start buying in? It's week 6 now. We're going into week 7 on Thursday night. I don't know.
Now, you were on our sister station, WWL, back in training camp.
Yeah, August 7th I was on the show.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Tell everybody what went down.
Well, they brought me on to kind of talk about the Chiefs, hot story back in August. Let's talk about the Chiefs, bringing, someone talks about the Chiefs. So I go on with them, and it's with Bobby Hebert, the former quarterback of the New Orleans Saints. Not Hebert, Hebert, H-E-B-E-R-T. Hebert. And this is what Bobby Hebert said to me about Steve Spagnuolo, who was the defensive coordinator for like a hot second down in New Orleans.
What is your take on the fan base? Are they all excited about Steve Spagnuolo, considering what he did with the Giants? Because I'm telling you, with the Saints, he sucked. I mean, he did not get it done. I'll tell you, to me, he's not even in the same category what Dennis Allen has done with Saints defenses. So to me, that's a mixed bag. And Andy Reid might trust Steve Spagnuolo, but I still got to take a wait-and-see approach.
So that is former NFL quarterback Bobby Hebert on WWL Radio with me on August 7th saying Steve Spagnuolo sucks. And I, obviously, growing up as a Giant fan, watched him win a Super Bowl with the Giants. I'm willing to give Steve Spagnuolo the benefit of the doubt. I gave him the benefit of the doubt for the first 4 games of the season. But we're not seeing anything change. We're not seeing this defense get better. We're actually, in fact, seeing this defense get worse. I mean, when we're watching games – and we have to do our best to find highlights for Francis Clark, that bothers me. Like, for Francis Clark, we should not have to go out there and look for highlights and try to find something that he did good and write it down and give him a round of applause. He should be like Michael Strahan making plays. That's where Steve Spagnuolo needs to sit Francis down and show him the plays of of Michael Strahan and the way that he played on that 2007 team, because they're playing the same position. Michael Strahan got to the quarterback. Michael Strahan had sacks. Michael Strahan had plays in the backfield. I know Michael Strahan's a Hall of Famer, but Clark's being paid like a Hall of Famer. It's time to him to start making plays. I would put together a highlight
Michael Strahan
reel.
Has helped him get paid today. Is that
yeah, well, eventually, yeah. Basically. Yeah. But I feel like I think Steve Spagnuolo needs to put together a highlight reel of 2007 Michael Strahan and show it to Frank Clark and say, this is what you need to be doing. Watch how this man plays. Watch how this man plays, because I promise you Michael Strahan is not giving up a touchdown to Deshaun Watson, who deeks left, deeks right, spins and goes into the end zone, and Frank Clark's going, ugh, I missed the tackle. Like, that's not happening. He's got to play better. Spags has to coach him better. Spags has to show him highlights of Strahan to show him what a defensive end is supposed to do in this defense, because whatever Francis Clark is bringing to the table is not what we need to see right now. It's not working. And Spagnuolo... I want to give Steve Spagnuolo the benefit of the doubt. How I told you for 7 months, give it four weeks.
Does it just take longer than that? Was a 4-week timetable too short a window?
Maybe, but I don't know. But now you're hearing about trust issues because from Tyrann Mathieu. That's a different ballgame.
Because you'd mentioned 4 weeks, and I said, wow, under normal circumstances, yeah. But I feel like from the get-go, there's going to be a ticking clock, and I think there has, and I think – now you're seeing it coupled with an offense that has, in total, regressed over the last several weeks. And their timetable, unfortunately, defensively, has been sped up.
Yeah.
I think the four weeks was about as patient as you can get. Now we're at 6, and this looks like an absolute mess. And you have one of your leaders saying, till we buy into this thing, this is going to continue to look this way.
Right.
That's got disaster written all over it.
I know.
Phil in Lenexa, the winner of tickets to the Hollywood Casino 400.
It's maddening.
Just for listening. That was our 7 o'clock hour prize. We give stuff away at 7, 8, and 9. And today it's about feeling better, getting those prizes as well. So we'll do that coming up at 8 o'clock for the next chance to win. Well, he saw it all along. And he was in the other locker room. We'll discuss next.
Fesco in the morning.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.